The gospel reading is found in Luke chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Thank you. Remembering our Lord's baptism is also a good time to remember our own. But let's start with Jesus' baptism. Why did Jesus get in line with all the sinners to be baptized? This has always presented a bit of a theological problem for the church, because for us, baptism has something to do with repentance and the forgiveness of sin. If we believe that Jesus was without sin, why would Jesus come with all the other people to get baptized? John the Baptist had preached a gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. According to Luke, all that we know about the baptism of Jesus is in the first half of verse 21 of our text. "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus also had been baptized." In other words, Jesus was identifying himself with sinners. He got in line with everyone else who was broken and part of a sin-sick world. So by getting in line with them, he showed us what it means for God to become incarnate, for God to take on human flesh, for God to become like one of us. At his baptism, Jesus identified himself with sinners, even though he was not one of them. But I believe there's a second reason why Jesus was baptized along with all the other people to identify himself with them. It reveals to us that we too are claimed by God. We too are God's beloved children. We heard the voice that came from heaven when Jesus was praying, "You are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased." I believe that same voice of the Spirit is spoken when we are baptized. Perhaps not in an audible voice, but that is the meaning. Of course, we're not the incarnation of God as Jesus was, but we are the creation of God. We belong to God. We are claimed by God. We are loved by God. And that's what it means to be baptized. Our Old Testament reading today from Isaiah expresses it in this way: "I have called you by name. You are mine." Isaiah was reminding the people of Israel of their divine origin. They were not in a good time. They had lived in exile. Perhaps some had forgotten God. But Isaiah reminded the people that God was still claiming them as his very own. And he also said that this ownership comes with a responsibility to love and serve the Lord. Now, Luke does not have Jesus say a single word out loud at his baptism, but we read that after he was baptized, he prayed. Jesus was not only coming to sinners to identify them with them at his baptism, but he was coming to God in prayer. He would not undertake his public ministry of teaching and healing by his own abilities or by his own power. The Holy Spirit came upon him to give him the ability and the strength. Our church's age-old liturgy for baptism follows this example of Jesus' baptism. We ask the parents the child's name. We are called by name and claimed as God's own children. We name the child and say, "You are a child of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." Now, it had been nearly 20 years since Jesus was engaged in a discussion with the religious teachers in the temple. The last we knew, he was growing up in the home of Joseph and Mary. But now he begins his public ministry, and it begins with this humble baptism that identifies himself with the people he has come to redeem. And what could bring him closer than to wade into the muddy waters of the Jordan River with the people who were asking that their sins be forgiven and washed away? And what could be more, make him more sure of his mission than to have the heavens opened and the heaven and the Holy Spirit descending on him? And hearing the voice from heaven, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." Baptism has a lifelong effect. Now, sometimes we might think of baptism as something that we just get done, and that's the end of it. Let me take an example of Kyle. Kyle was part of a confirmation class, but since he hadn't been baptized as an infant, he was baptized at his confirmation. Now, in the weeks following Kyle's baptism and confirmation, along with the other young people, he and his family were noticeably absent from the church. While the confirmation class was going on, Kyle and his family came to church almost every Sunday. And they seemed to have developed a good relationship with the other members of the church. But then it ended. And that's when the pastor realized that something was wrong. Maybe he had done something wrong. And so he made a follow-up visit. When he checked in with Kyle and his folks to see what had happened, why they were no longer attending church, they seemed a little surprised. They said, "Well, I guess we thought that Kyle was all done. He was baptized and confirmed and everything. So he's not done?" The pastor had to apologize for leaving them with the false impression. Baptism and confirmation isn't something that is done or completed. It's not an ending. But it marks the beginning of a lifelong journey, learning what it means to be a child of God and discovering God's call to serve him. In the gospel writer's description, the baptism of Jesus was not something that was done, but something that marked the beginning of his public ministry. It was like his commissioning to begin the work for which he had been called and sent. And that's the sort of way that I think we should understand our baptism. It is also a commissioning. It is a confession of faith, but it is also a call and a commissioning to be sent to do God's work. We're going to be calling together another confirmation class soon for those young people who would like to get ready to confirm the vows that were made for them by their parents and the congregation at their baptism. But I hope that they and all of us will understand that our baptism and our profession of faith is a lifelong commitment, an adventure as we grow in our understanding of what God is calling us to do, to live out our identity as God's beloved children. It seems very appropriate on this Sunday, when we recall the baptism of Jesus and remember our own baptism, that we ordain and install elders and deacons in the church. We all have a calling for ministry. And today we recognize those with a special calling, those who have been chosen by the church and by God to serve in these special ministries of the church. According to what I heard, Kyle and his family started coming back to church after the pastor's visit, and everyone were glad to see them back and greeted them warmly. And they even seemed a little relieved that Kyle's faith journey was not over, but only beginning. And now to him who, by the power at work within us, is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.